When Jesus does a miracle, he does it for a purpose. Okay? First miracle, he revealed himself to his disciples. Second miracle, he revealed himself to the Gentiles. His third miracle, he's revealing himself to the Jews. And so, as we're coming to this passage, he's really going to give a lengthy passage, and because of the conversation, we're going to get to it in a moment, but Jesus is going to explain who Jesus is. That's really what we're going to be asking. And it was funny because they came, they didn't know. So it's kind of, you heard that saying, who's that masked man? And we have, the past few years, we've had a lot of Marvel comic movies. And the superhero usually has a mask, right? And it's obvious to us who it is, and obvious to a few people, but everybody else doesn't know who is this person. He comes out of nowhere and starts doing all these miracles, and people are asking, who is this? And to be honest with you, this year, we're coming in 2 weeks, Easter, and millions of people will be celebrating Easter. A lot of stores will be closed. Hopefully, you'll have the day off. But most people, a lot of people, will know there's some, or understand there's some religious meaning behind Easter. But I don't know if they really understand the total significance of who Jesus is. That's really what it comes down to. Right? We sang about Jesus this morning. We're worshiping Jesus this morning. And so it really comes down as Jesus is revealed in the Gospel of John. Remember, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of Man. These miracles have happened that you may believe. We're not believing on a religion. We're not believing in a church. Our emphasis this morning is on Jesus. And sometimes, I think Jesus gets masked behind religion, preconceived ideas, and false teaching about him. And so, we grow up maybe in a church and we have our traditions, but do we really know Jesus? Or through social media or through our circle of influences, we have this preconceived idea of who Jesus is. And then there are a lot of, today, false teachings. Other groups or cults that teach that Jesus is not God, that Jesus was a prophet, or he was supernaturally inspired, or different teachings. You can often tell a true church from a false church on what they teach about Jesus. That's really often is the defining moment. And so, here we come to this miracle. This man, we said, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And you would think it would be a celebration, right? And in verse 10, the Jews therefore said, they're watching this happen. They said to him who was cured, this lame man, it is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Now talk about a bunch of killjoys. How long had this man been sick? 38 years. It's a long time. 38. So they knew this man. Obviously. He had been in the temple. Oftentimes, people that have disabilities that you know, you're friends with, or they're in the church, you know who they are. They knew exactly who this man was. And the first thing they do when they see him, say, this is awesome. How did you get healed? You're walking. What happened? It's a Sabbath. Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Instead of having a party, instead of having a celebration, instead of having a missionary breakfast, They got mad at him. And notice what he said, verse 11. And he answered them, "He who made me well." Now think about this. "The man who healed me, made me well, said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Now, I don't think this lame man was a Bible theologian. But I think he understood God, or theology. Theology is the study of God. I think he understood some basic principles that the elitist or the educated didn't get. This man healed me. He said, "Take up your bed." I think I need to listen to this guy. You've seen me in the temple for 38 years. You haven't lifted a finger to help me. And now that I'm well, you're worried about your interpretation. Now, remember that. Their interpretation of the Sabbath. Because we know Jesus didn't sin. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Jesus didn't sin. Remember, it was their interpretation. Actually, it was their adding to the Sabbath. And a lot of times we do that. We add to the Bible. We put things in our religious traditions that aren't in the Bible. And when Jesus came to his people, he's here among the Jews. Jesus is Jewish. Jesus was born of the lineage of David. He was the Messiah. And so they question his authority. And notice what they said. And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" And that's the question. That's the question of Easter. Who is Jesus? Did he rise or did he not rise? Did he die on the cross or did he not die on the cross? Did he come to this earth or did he not come to this earth? Who is Jesus? It's not about my church or it's not about having a competition of what is the better church. It's does our church and do our group of churches, do we teach Jesus? Do we point people to Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Who is this man that said to you, "Take up your bed and walk"? And it's interesting here that oftentimes the enemies of Jesus are the ones that give us the most evidences of his resurrection. Like they told them to seal the tomb. And the Roman soldiers sealed the tomb with their lives. His enemies did that, and it became one of the proofs of the resurrection. God has not left us to our own devices. He is working today. And oftentimes God can turn man's evil intentions around to promote his kingdom. I know we want everything to go easy in life. Unfortunately, we live in a difficult world. We live in a world that is imperfect. And oftentimes, imperfect things happen to us. But when we follow God, God can turn any evil intention, any problem, he can turn it around to promote his kingdom. And that's what happens many times when the enemies come to confront Jesus and try to put Jesus down, question who he is, he uses it as an opportunity to promote the kingdom of God. And remember, this morning, in your lives, there are no accidents. How God moves in your lives, and let's be honest. It is the difficult situations that turn our face to God, isn't it not? But it's also the difficult situations that help us to see the hand of God. And when we step out on faith to serve God, don't have this impression that everything is going to be smooth and easy. It isn't always. But He is always with us. And He is always working things out for His glory. Now, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. Now, I skipped the conversation we had last week. Remember, Jesus found them in the temple, and He said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And he knew it. So He goes back to the Jews, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and He told them that it was Jesus that made him well. And I'm sure the Pharisees were like, "Yeah, we knew it was Him. That bad Jesus." Because look what they said. Therefore the Jews began persecuting Jesus because He was doing these things on the Sabbath. Now think about that. Just think about, here this person, and we see it happen all the time, don't we? This person was lame for 38 years. He gets healed. And instead of rejoicing, they came. Who was it? Jesus. So they began to persecute and oppose Jesus. And what was Jesus revealing to them? The purpose of the miracle was to reveal to the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. Here is their Messiah in the midst of them, showing signs of the Messiah, showing the power of the Messiah. And they're worried about the Sabbath. You know what keeps us from getting close to God or knowing God? Many times, our preconceived notions or ideas about God may hinder us from knowing God. These men were very comfortable in their positions. They were comfortable in their finances. They were comfortable in society. They didn't want anything to upset their lives. They didn't want to change. They were not willing to humble themselves. What did Jesus say? If you want to come to the kingdom of God, you need to become like a what? Child. You need to become like a child. And a child has that innocence. Sometimes. I'm resisting saying a joke about my kids right now, okay? I want you to know that I've resisted temptation very strongly. So they didn't want to know, but oftentimes, isn't it amazing? We come to, somebody talks to us about God, or somebody talks to us about the Bible, or maybe even you came in here this morning and you got your hand up like this. Like, what's that about? Like, I'm just opening the scripture. We're looking in the scripture to see what the scripture says about God. Not my words. I don't have a motive that I'm trying to get this certain thing out of it. I'm just trying to show you who Jesus is as He's revealed in the Gospel of John. But yet, if we want to know God, sometimes we have to let down our preconceived ideas or what society, or nowadays what Facebook tells us about God. Like the 800 comments. Like, those are not theology. People's opinions. We all have opinions. But the Bible reveals to us who God is. And so, sometimes, we have to just lay those aside. Now, think about this. Think about this. They begin to persecute Jesus. And what great thing, great evil did He do? He healed this man. He healed this man. The miracle worker is being
persecuted. And I often think about this because somebody will start coming to church. And they will come and they'll begin getting comfort, begin knowing about God. Maybe even accept Jesus and get baptized. And then it's usually somebody at work, maybe somebody in the family, maybe a relative. Oh, I hope you're not going to become fanatical. Or I hope you're not one of those Jesus freaks. And maybe you had an addiction. Maybe you were overcome with worry. You came to Jesus. He healed you, made you better. Now you have hope. Now you're optimistic in life. And what are people worried about? Why are you Jesus freak? Like, does that blow your mind? Like, are we, like, as Christians, we're not trying to force people. We're not trying to kill people. We're trying to help people. And yet, there's a great persecution today. Now, the numbers, there's one number out there, 90,000 a year Christians are being killed. I'm not sure if that's accurate. Doing a little research, I'm going to go with the smallest number. But according to research today, there's about 2,000 to 4,000 Christians killed every year for their faith. Over 250 million persecuted. Many countries where you can't practice your faith. But yet, what you hear all the time is the crimes against a certain group of people. For instance, LGBTQ. Crying out. And how many killed last year? What I could find in 2016, 52. But you don't hear the cry against the Christians, do you? You don't hear the cry about all the Christians being persecuted. You hear the cry about other groups. Why is that? It comes back to who Jesus is. Because if Jesus wasn't God, nobody would care. It wouldn't convict anyone. So let's go on. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." I like this. Hey, why did you break the Sabbath? Well, I'm working. Like, in your face, guys. But not only am I working, Jehovah's working. So I'm working, Jehovah's working. What do you think about that? Now, if you go to Genesis, we'll just read one, two verses in Genesis, but notice what he says about the Sabbath. Genesis 2:2-3. Notice it says, By the seventh day, God completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. For on it, he rested from his work of what? Creation. So the Sabbath day was a day set apart to honor God. They had interpreted it to mean any, whatever they defined as work, was breaking the Sabbath. But they totally got away from the real meaning of the Sabbath. It wasn't that you don't work, it was that you rest from your normal work. And, you know, I mean, would brushing your teeth be work? Right? I suggest even on the Sabbath you brush your teeth. Okay? Not only on the Sabbath, okay? All 7 days. But, so they were upset that he had turned things against their tradition, but their tradition, they had gotten away from the essence of the meaning of the Sabbath. And notice what happened when he said that to them. I and my Father are working. Notice what happened. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him. Because not only had he broken the Sabbath. Now, had he broken the Sabbath? Had he broken the Sabbath?
No, he had not broken the Sabbath. They sought all the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself what? Was he saying?
Equal
with God. Making himself equal with God. So here they were upset with him for the Sabbath. He answered them and said, my father and I are working. And their reaction was that you're being equal. Now they were equal with God. So they got it. Okay? They understood what Jesus was saying. Now, I understand this morning that the concept of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, is difficult for our finite minds to understand. And in the relationship with the Father and Son, you remember that Jesus, when he came to this earth, he put aside his glory, he became a man. But he wasn't created when he came. We learn that in John, right? John 1:1. In the beginning was the what? Word. The word was with, and the word was God. Thank you. And verse 14, and the word became what?
Flesh.
And dwelt among us. Jesus. Okay? So they understood what Jesus was saying when he said, I am the Father, our work. He said, you're making yourself equal with God. So don't, Jesus clearly, when you see other passages in the Gospel of John, Jesus clearly defined who he was. He clearly identified as God. He didn't shy away. It's not a secret. It's not like this secret thing that we have to find in the Scripture. And so he goes on and he has this discussion with the Jews. And it's very, it's lengthy, it's long. And it's very revealing about the person of Jesus. So we see here this morning, and we'll conclude with this, six ways in which Jesus is equal with God. First of all, we see Jesus is equal to God in his nature. Of his nature. Notice verse 19 again. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. He's saying, I'm one in nature with God. Father works, I'm working. I'm working, the Father's working. We don't have two different agendas. We're the same companies, not two different companies. We're one. Jesus is equal to God in his works. Notice again verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Now, think about that for a minute. That God, do you think, or when we think about God, do we comprehend that he's working? We say, God's working in my life. What does that mean? And that really means that he's working to draw himself to you, or draw you to himself. He's calling you. He wants to have that relationship with you. He's pursuing you. As we saw last week with this lame man, Jesus pursued this man. The man wasn't looking for him, but Jesus pursued this man. So, Jesus is equal to God in his nature. Say it with me. Nature. Jesus is equal to God in his works. And then, Jesus is equal to God, say it with me, in his knowledge. in his knowledge.
Notice what he says. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he has shown him greater works than these, that you may marvel. We have yet to see the works Jesus Christ is going to do. He's coming again. He rose. He went up to heaven. And what he said, I'm coming back in like manner. We've yet to see the works. God is continually working. He wants to work in your life so that you can see the working of God in your lives. And then, fourth, Jesus is equal to God in his ability to give life. He said to the lame man, rise up and walk. Verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And we could go into real philosophical thinking this morning. Where does life come from? It comes from God.
Amen.
Ultimately, it comes from God. We have yet to be able to. Man has done many great things, but he cannot create life out of nothing.
Amen.
And even scientists, when hard-pressed, I call billions of years scientists magic potion. When they don't have an explanation, they throw billions of years at it. I don't know how life, but billions of years, something happened. We know what happened in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. So God is the one that gives life. If God gives life to us physically, he gives life to us spiritually. Fourth, Jesus is equal to God in that he will judge. Notice what it says in verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. That means we give an account to God, to Jesus. Jesus said, the words that I've spoken will judge you in the last days. So that, by the way, that's really where the hatred comes out towards. Because we don't like to be judged. We don't like to have to give an account. And we want everybody's opinion to be the same. But he's saying, Jesus is the one that's going to be judged. And then Jesus is equal to God in that he is worshipped. Notice verse 23. That all should honor the Son, just as they honored the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now, they got really upset with these teachings and eventually crucified him. But that was God's plan, right? Jesus came to die. Crucifixion was not an accident. He came to die. And so he told them the truth. And the truth was, who is Jesus? Who is this masked man? Who is this man that is hidden in religion and preconceived ideas and false doctrine? Who is this man? Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the great I Am. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible says he's coming with clouds and every eye will see him. And Paul tells us, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So the response for us, will we worship him and will we bow to him now? Eventually, everybody will bow to Jesus. That's why God is not at the height as we are about everything that's going on in the world.
Psalm 2 talks about God laughs at his enemies that think they can rebel against the Lord and his Christ. Man does not have the power to overcome God. And the more they try to destroy Jesus, the more he turned it around for his glory. The Bible says this, if God be for us, who could be against us? If you're serving Christ this morning and you're going through a time of maybe persecution, maybe people at work are laughing at you, maybe you're intimidated, afraid to witness for Jesus. Jesus has your back.
Amen.
And you'll see, as you witness and come out as a believer, you may get pushed back, but you will see, in the end, God has this. And this morning, the question is, for all of us, whether we've accepted Christ, whether we just know about Christ, whether we're resisting Christ, the question is Jesus your Lord and God? He that has the Son, as we'll see next week, has everlasting life. The question is, do you have everlasting life? Have you been born again? Do you remember a time in your life when you understood you were a sinner, you understood Jesus died on the cross, you understood he rose again, and you put your trust in him and said, Lord, I need to be saved. I believe you died for me. Remember a time? Or maybe you did. Maybe you came and prayed, or in your house or somewhere, but you've begun to let other things be more important than who Jesus is. Maybe this morning you need to dedicate. Maybe this morning you just need comfort and prayer just to keep following. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise this morning for who you are. That you're God, the nature of God. That you do the works of God. That you have the knowledge of God. That you are equal with God in judgment, in worship, in power, in knowledge, in nature, in works. Lord, we have such hard hearts, prideful hearts. Oftentimes we don't want to humble ourselves. Lord, may we humble ourselves and recognize you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. God spoke to you this morning. Maybe you didn't come. As we sing, Lord, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you just need to come and pray for somebody. Need to pray, Lord. Give you the strength. Maybe you failed as a witness. We all do. We're human. We're intimidated. And we've had an opportunity to say something. We've just been quiet. Lord, renew that passion for you. Maybe this morning you've just been reminded, and we need this, you're reminded of who Jesus is.